نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد المدين الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلي الفالفم الله اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
Take anything without an objective, without a purpose. If you don't have a purpose behind that, an objective, then that cannot exist or stay continuing. It cannot remain. To remain, to continue, to exist, everything needs to be based on an objective, a purpose. Insan, the human being, he is Ashraf al-Makhlukat, Ashraf, superior form of creation. And his objective in the whole universe is most superior of all, highest, greatest. All the different forms of creation that Allah Ta'ala has created, the objective that Allah Ta'ala has given to insan, the human being, is the best, the greatest, most superior. Insan, in other words, us all who are sate with the fadl of Allah, we are all insan, human beings. And we have an objective, a purpose. So this is the first point, that insan should always keep his objective purpose in front of him, because we are here for that purpose, for the objective. That purpose, that objective, if we depart without attaining it, then achieving it, then it's a waste of time. And if we are living a life of waste, we haven't understood our purpose, then that is a life worse than the animals for the human being. Then it's only one objective that you can see. Eating, drinking, and desires, nafsiyat, base desires. This is a very low level of life. Even the animals do this. They are here for this purpose, and with this they live their life. They eat, they drink, they have desires, and then they pass away and they go into the soil. So the insan who is Ashraf al-Makhlukat, the superior form of creation, he should be very different and distinguished from this. So first and foremost, we need to think. I always request that we have this discussion for our tarbiyah, improvement, so that we can repeat our lesson and don't forget our lesson. That we are a very select and special jamaat to whom I'm addressing. And via the objective purpose, that jamaat is there. On that basis, so I keep on repeating these words and lessons with you. So that objective, we should realize that, we should know that. What is our purpose, objective? When you realize your purpose and objective, then you become more alert, aware, and strong, and you are more, you have more energy put into acquiring that purpose. So my brothers, what we think is eating and drinking and other actions, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that I am responsible for all of these matters and affairs, subhanAllah. So that cannot be our objective. If Allah has taken something, responsibility for something, Allah says, food I will give to you, bread I will give to you, whatever requirement in the world, all the makhluk creation in the world, you are my ashraf, all the creation in the world will continue to get food. As many days that are in your destiny, in your life, if potato is there, it will come to you. If it's meat, meat will come to you. If it's okra, okra will come to you. If it's spinach, spinach will come to you. Now, this is a waste of time discussion, that Allah wants to give you okra and you say, no, I want the chicken leg instead. So this is where things get spoiled a little bit and a person slips. and falls down. And this is the tarbiyah we are in need of, and that's why we go to the mashayikh, our pious elders, that whatever you attain, be satisfied with it. That was in your destiny, you've attained that, just be calm now. That's it, alhamdulillah. What other benefit are you trying to acquire when you go to the company of a wali Allah? This is the tarbiyah he gives to you, that if you get okra, then don't ask for meat. If you get meat, don't ask for okra. If you get biryani, then don't ask for shami kebab. If you get shami kebab, then don't ask for pilau. Whatever you get, alhamdulillah. Just say one word, alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to you, Allah. Whatever was in my qismat, destiny, I've attained, acquired. That will definitely arrive to you. That will definitely arrive to you. It's a very good incident that occurred. There was a sahib in Misr, in Egypt. He was in the embassy. He was a big officer in the embassy, Egyptian. And the embassy called him that travel to Russia. You need to go to Russia. And then he said to his wife, very quickly, there's a special meeting in Russia. I need to arrive there, reach this true event. And he said, quickly get ready. We can't get a flight for both. Okay, what we'll do, we can't get a direct flight to Russia. Because obviously, so he said, okay, let's get a stopover journey, then a stopover flight, transit flight. See, we'll stop on the way because we need to get there to the end point. So let's do that. So they departed, they took the flight, and during the flight, there was a transit, a stopover. But on the way, he was still traveling, a message came, we don't need you now, you can go back now. That task, that duty, obviously there are embassy actions and official actions, that he was sad that what's happened here. So that stopover, the transit, they stopped there. And I can't remember that country where he stopped. When he came outside, he said, what should we do now? That food that we prepared and brought with us, that we haven't gone to our end point now, we're going back to where we just came from. He said his wife had roasted some chicken, some food. He said, what should we do with this food? He couldn't understand what to do. So he came outside during the stopover, and they saw an individual who looked poor, apparently. And they looked towards him, paid attention. He was a poor soul. He was hungry. He needed food. Different country. So the food that they cooked and brought with them, they gave to that individual. Handed over to the individual. So he was a dervish. And he said, in reality, that the whole journey, the preparation we made, the whole journey that we undertook, there was no reason to get, we didn't have to go to Russia. The real reason behind it was to give the food to this individual. This is what was written. You'll see this regularly, that you're eating something and you take that food to your mouth and then it drops. So that food wasn't in your destiny. You get it to your mouth, lips, and then it drops. So for example, you're eating some chickpeas, a chickpea will drop, and then people say, oh, let's throw this away and waste the food. So you went, you bought some food, everything, but it wasn't in your destiny, that pea, that chickpea or dal, it was in somebody else's destiny. Maybe you're going to throw it away, you put it aside, or some spider will eat or ant. This is Allah's nizam, this is Allah's creation, the cycles. We haven't understood that Allah's hikmahs, Allah's wisdoms, we haven't understood them. We are very high grade qawm, nation. Allah Ta'ala has made human being with a great hikmah, wisdom, full of wisdom. And we never think, we never understand, we don't use our wisdom, our intellect to understand this point. Ajib, unique hikmah, wisdom Allah Ta'ala has created. Allah says in the Quran that there's no such other creation, that Allah says everything in the universe have taken responsibility for everyone's food. Whoever wants to give more, I give more. If I want to give less, I give less. This is my control, Allah Ta'ala says. In my control. So you may be left India and go to the poles, but you'll only receive what is in your destiny. If you are poor there, then you will also be poor here. Yes, there are poor people here, aren't they? You'll be hand to mouth as well. And there, maybe if you have wealth there and ease there, you'll come in and have wealth there and ease here. So this is our different way of thinking, which is a sickness inside us. And to eliminate these sicknesses and diseases, the sensible people who have aql and wisdom, where do they go? They go to the company of the awliya Allah, to the majalis dhikr. Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayati li ulil albab. Why is Allah Ta'ala given them the term, definition, people of wisdom, intellect? Through dhikr, they want to recognize their purpose. What is their objective? What are the objectives is to do dhikr? What is there in the company of the Wali Allah, the Awli Allah? It's a big secret. We have an understanding. Allah Ta'ala has given to us. We have come into this dunya for a great reason, a purpose. That's our objective. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the objective for which Allah Ta'ala sent us. What's that objective? What is that secret? What is that purpose? Allah says, Allah says, your food, drinks, my responsibility. And we're running around with this worry. We're for wasting our time. Though I will have this job, this profession, then this will come, then that will come. My brothers, whatever's gonna come, it will come definitely for sure. When it has to stop, then Allah will call you back. That's it. End of life. Allah will call you back. End of term. Expiring. So the doctor will say no to you himself, that don't give any food to this patient, it will give him loss. He's got diabetes, don't give food. Or if the sugar, for example, stop giving sugar to him, stop giving salt to him. Oh, he's got gluten issue, stop giving him wheat to eat. So what is all this? This is automatic. Allah Ta'ala, He stops the resources. For example, the teeth, the decay, disease, take the teeth out, then he can't chew meat anymore. Isn't this the case? So this is all based on Allah's wisdom. Allah will give you a sickness, then you'll stop eating something automatically, or drinking. You will put your hands forward, I want to eat this, but oh no, I've got diabetes, or my leg will get disease, amputation, then the person stops. Because it's not in his destiny. That cake, or that barfi, or that delicacy, that gulab jamun, is not in his destiny anymore. So this is all a system, a cycle, all these things of the world on the side. What's our real purpose? What's our real objective? Say Subhanallah. Yeah? Why do we run after food and things? Where there's bread, Allah will deliver that to you from here. If you go from the masjid or from the shop, it will come from the shop. Or from anywhere, it will come to you. But understand your purpose of lifetime is short. If you depart this world without attaining the objective, then we will be included in the list of animals despite being human beings. We will be included in amongst the animals in the hereafter. That these people animals. Rather, they are worse than the animals. Worse than animals. Allah says, did I give you akal for this reason? That make planes and fly around in the air? Did I give you this much intellect and wisdom and brain that you just design and manufacture rockets and fly into the space and do other things? These are just pastimes and hobbies and interests in the dunya. Allah says, you have a much more bigger objective and task and duty than this, that which is greater, which is linked to the heavens. Beyond and above this universe. Such a great task Allah Ta'ala said I gave to you in purpose. But very few people understand this. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So what's our objective? What is that objective? What a great objective Allah Ta'ala has given. Tell me. What a great purpose. So the purpose, our objective is to attain Allah. To attain Allah. Is that hard to understand? In other words, to attain Allah, what does this mean? Our purpose, the objective, is that Allah Ta'ala's qurb and His radha, to seek it, to find it. To find and seek, not food and bread. Not to look and seek bread, look to find bread, where we've left and come here with villages and towns and come and sat here. Was this, did we come here to seek and find Allah? What did we come here to find and seek? To find income and money. So, then what about those who were created to find Allah and seek Allah's pleasure? So that purpose that Allah created us for, to seek Allah's nearness, to find Allah's pleasure, what does that mean? In other words, Allah's qurb, Allah's radha. So that's our objective. Our purpose of life is to attain, to find Allah, to get Allah's nearness and pleasure. Allah Ta'ala Himself, that's our duty. Are we animals? Are we camels? Are we cows or ox? That we keep on running around looking for bread and chapati and we just graze our mouths in the fields? Is that what we're there for? We have such a big duty and job. Allah's pleasure, to find Allah's pleasure, to find Allah's nearness. That's our duty. That's our purpose. What a great job Allah Ta'ala has given to us. A great career, profession. So me and you, that's our objective. So the person who attains this objective attains success and he will leave this world successful. The person runs after bread, buildings, making houses, minister, this title, that title. Has anyone ever got success? The biggest kings and ministers, where did they end up? In the ground, buried. We've seen this through the ages. Where's Sikandar in the world? Where's Qarun gone in the earth? Where's this minister gone in the earth? Where's this king gone in the earth after dying? And in your era, generation, in your time, so many big so-called people have died, passed away and been buried in the world, in the ground. Many people, you are here from different countries, Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, this country, that country, that all of you from many places in the world all sat here. And in your environment, society, people with title have passed away and they've been buried. Everyone has the same place to go to after passing away. Maybe the high status in the world with titles and pomp and glory, but you have to go back to the original place. Doesn't matter how high you go in the world, but eventually you have to be buried in the ground. Doesn't matter what you are, who you are, however big a man you are in the world. Yes, every individual has to go to that same point after death. Doesn't matter what you are in this world. I remember this couplet, this verse now. So you know, you see people around you, title, names, and so-called big shots. It's all a waste of time. You have to be buried in the ground after that. Doesn't matter how high you go in the world, but when the breath, the final breath is exhaled, you will be buried into the ground. So this short life, temporary life, don't just run around wild. We need to be alive. We need to use our time to understand our purpose is to find Allah. That's our task. Seek Allah, Allah's nearness. Seek Allah's pleasure. Seek His love. Every second we should be running after that one duty, that task. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good. Understand the objective? Yes, alhamdulillah. Okay, let's continue. So next. Because this is a class that we've got here, isn't it? It's like a classroom. Yes, a tasawwuf classroom after 1 week passes, every week. If only we have the tawfiq to practice on this as well. I mean, so we've understood this now, that if you, as a human being, have any other objective of life, then you are an animal like an ox, a cow. Make this your objective today. Our objective is just one. And what is that? Allah's radha, Allah's pleasure, and Allah's nearness. To find Allah's nearness and to seek Allah's pleasure. We need to spend our time in this. Okay, fine. So this is a massive objective Allah has given to us. So how do we attain this? How do we achieve the purpose of life? It's very difficult indeed. How can we do this? We're thrown into the world. Go, do this duty, Allah says. So what did Allah Ta'ala do then? Allah gave us guidance. Allah gave us clues. Allah gave us tips. How? From the heavens, Allah Ta'ala revealed a kitab, which we call the Qur'an-e-Hakim. Yes, yes, this is the objective of the Qur'an. This is the role of the Qur'an to assist us. Do you understand the role of the Qur'an? In the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just told us one message to us, isn't it? Just one thing to make us understand. Allah has given us that these animals, so they understand through events, through stories, through the examples of the Anbiya, the prophets, their nations, through their words, through the miracles. Just one point to explain to us, to make us understand. Allah ta'ala gave us what? Yes, the Quran said that we can seek Allah's nearness and Allah's happiness is radha. In the whole Quran, Allah is explaining us how to do this, how to achieve this. This is how you'll achieve this, Allah says. So in the Quran, Allah has told us this. How will we attain Allah's nearness? Say subhanAllah. How will we find Allah's pleasure? Shall I tell you through the Quran? The Quran tells us, giving us tips, clear guidance. Yes, so we should become like workers. Make the intention, the message coming to us. So let's work on that. So how do we attain Allah's nearness? How do we find Allah's happiness? Without that, we are animals. No, I want to find Allah's nearness. How do I attain that? The Quran will explain to us. Tell us. No thing can make us attain Allah's nearness. Yes, nothing can make us attain Allah's nearness and get His pleasure away from the way He's guided us to it. No ibadah can make us achieve this. No worship can make us achieve this. No act of worship will give us Allah's nearness or happiness. Why? Because Allah says, I've given you the tools, the resources through which you can attain my nearness and happiness. Only through that, not through your own understanding. So if you want to find Allah's nearness, you're seeking Allah's pleasure, Allah's given us a clue and told us that this way you can get to my nearness and happiness, otherwise no. And what is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that to seek my happiness, Allah says, وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَا. Subhanallah. وَجَاهَدُوا فِينَا, Allah says. Subhanallah. وَالَّذِينَ, Jahadu fina. If you are seeking Allah's nearness and you want Allah's happiness, you are trying to find Allah. This is your objective. To achieve this objective, you have to do one action. Without this, you cannot attain this objective. Impossible. And what is that? Mujahada. Effort. Hard work. Keep trying. Allah, to attain Allah's nearness, there's only one path, one mode, one method. وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا. When you work hard, and in Allah's path, you try hard, you make effort. Allah Ta'ala, what does He say? وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا. وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهَدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولًا. Subhanallah. Your Rabb, your Lord, then for you, He will create such means. Because Allah says, those who strive hard in my cause, I most certainly will guide them. وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولًا. Then Allah says, I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to you, for that path, most Allah, hey, what do the mufassireen, the commentators, what do the right? Alhamdulillah, that when an individual starts to work hard to attain Allah's nearness, then what happens? Allah will most certainly give basirat and nur and light and wisdom Allah Ta'ala will create for that person, within that person. Yes, this is all based on hard work, remember. That just like to make a house, you work hard and then you see bricks, even in your dream, you see bricks. Whatever you try hard and want to attain, so Allah Ta'ala says that when you try hard for me, work hard for me, then what do I do for that person? Then his mind, his heart, everything, I change it and I instill it with nur and hikmah, that that path becomes easy for that person to follow. Subhanallah. Allah says, most certainly I guide them onto paths that lead to me. What do? To try? No, we cannot try, we say. We cannot try. We'll take the path. In other words, those things that take us to Allah, the paths, we acquire them, we grab hold of them, but wajahadu, we don't work hard on them. Waladina jadu, we'll go to the shaykh. Yes, we know that this is the path that will take us to Allah. Then what will we do? Pay attention to what I'm saying. Do dua for me, Hazrat. Oh, my shaykh, my teacher, do dua for me, pray for me, or pay attention to me. My brothers, the shaykh does pay attention. He does do dua for the student, and it does take effect. It does have an impact. But that time when the individual, the student himself, is moving, working hard, you have to still work hard and make effort at that time. Yes, the shaykh, he gives you a push, but it's for you to work hard and move. He will push you, assist you, but you have to make the moves. So we don't want to work hard, we don't want to make the effort, we assign all of that to the shaykh. Oh, I've come to the teacher, I don't need to work hard now. Shaykh, my teacher, just do dua for me, do this, pay attention to me, focus on me. We say this, don't we, to the teacher. We think that he's going to achieve that miracle. And then that student, he fails. This is the usul, the principle, that when you arrive to the shaykh's company and become the student, that's when the real hard work starts. That's when the real hard work starts. So at that time, when the individual, the human being, when he sees his objective, what's our objective is to find Allah, then what's our second step? Is to work hard to acquire that. Seek Allah. Seek. Look for Allah. Allah's nearness. Work hard. Make effort. Mujahada. Hard work. This is the case, isn't it? So as soon as Allah's path, you start doing mujahada, you say running the shop? No. The things that you're doing, Allah Ta'ala says straight away, Allah says, لَنَهْدِيَنَّمْ سُبُولَنَا. Allah says, now most certainly Allah then presents hikmah, wisdom, Allah instills into the heart of that person understanding that it makes it easy for him to follow that path. Allah says, سُبُولَنَا. سُبُولَنَا. Paths. Listen carefully. Allah doesn't say subul, no path. What does Allah say? Subulana. Allah says, I will show you the path. I most certainly will guide you onto the path that will lead to me. Say subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Glory be to Him. Allah says, so here now a point arises. Let me explain to you a little bit so we understand this. So the matter becomes clear for us. What are the paths that Allah is explaining here? Mentioning here, the paths, Allah Ta'ala says that I reveal them to you based on hikmah, wisdom and nur. Allah says, don't just show them to you or unravel them, rather I make them clear for you, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah, the path, Allah says, that leads to me, I will unravel that in front of you, make it clear for you. So what is the hikmah? What is the wisdom? What is the nur? Allah says, those paths that lead to me, you start to believe in them 100% with yakin. Because when an individual, a student, starts to work hard, make effort to attain Allah's nearness, then that path that leads to Allah, that he's seeking, Allah Ta'ala says, I give you total conviction and yakin and belief in that path, in that method, in that practice. And then the paths come to that person more and more and more. What is that path? That is the path of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah. Yes, there's no other path to reach up to Allah. You can't find Allah from any other path. It's the path of the sunnah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's the path of his love and his ishq and his sunnah. Without these, you cannot get to Allah. So that path that is hidden in front and then comes in front of us, then it looks difficult. It feels difficult. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on his hikmah, his nur, he unravels that and he makes that student an ashik on that path. On that path. And because he wants to find Allah, get to Allah's nearness and pleasure, Allah Ta'ala demonstrates that path to the student through which by practicing that he attains Allah's nearness and love. What is that path? The path of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his sunnah and his sharia. This is the path that leads to Allah. Inna Allah, Allah says, wa inna Allah la ma'al muhsineen. A beautiful conclusion here to this verse. For behold, Allah is indeed with the doers of good. Allah says, remember one thing. Allah says, remember one thing. That whenever anybody travels on the path to reach me, it's not an easy path. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That is not an easy path to trod on, to follow. It's not easy, that practice. That's why Allah says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. What do? When that student, that seeker, practices and follows very hard that path. So in this path, Allah says, then I start to travel along with that person. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. But that's the condition, Allah says. That definitely, definitely, no doubt, behold, your Rabb, Lord, will be with you, pushing you along. Allah is indeed with the doers of good. It will be very hard to follow the sunnah of Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It would be very difficult for everything that person would be ready to do. But the real, genuine path that will take you to Allah, shaitan won't let you practice that. Your nafs won't let you practice that. So where, here Allah Ta'ala promises, because you are working hard, honest path. So this path will open it up for you, make it easy for you to practice, Allah says. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is the dalil, the proof that person who's honest and sincere, who really, genuinely wants to practice and follow the path of Allah, then first and foremost, he will have a love for the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, he's a hypocrite. Total munafiq is that individual if he doesn't do that. If he does otherwise. So here we learn the difference between honesty and hypocrisy. Because the munafiq, the hypocrite, will never with his heart accept the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never will he. These are very high level points I'm sharing with you, explaining to you. You know, we say this person's hypocrite. How Allah Ta'ala has given the signs of the munafiq hypocrite. The sign of the munafiq is that he won't go towards the sunnah. His hand won't go to the sunnah. His feet won't go towards the sunnah. Thousands of excuses, thousands of games to get away from the sunnah. He'll be ready to do everything. But when the sunnah rises or the sharia comes, when the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to him or the sharia points come to him, then... Yes, that 124,000 more than that, there were sahaba who were lovers of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the munafiq, because he's not honest and genuine and he doesn't want to attain Allah Ta'ala's path, then everything he will do, but when the sunnah comes, then immediately he will drown or he will fail, he'll make excuses, he'll say, oh please forgive me, he'll make excuses, he won't follow that path. And he'll bring false proofs. So here the mufassireen, the commentators, the pious predecessors, that this is the sign, the measurement gauge between honesty and hypocrisy. To recognize whether a person's honest or hypocrite. Clear, you realize individually and collectively we need to assess that are we honest or are we hypocrites. So ask your heart that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, when you practice that, how do you feel at that time? And you'll get the answer. That, do you follow footstep by footstep, so no, you don't feel like doing it, does your heart feel like doing or not, do you have a passion, a desire? You, each and every one of us knows our situation. So a person who wants to attain Allah's nearness and happiness, honestly, then his heart will be such that alhamdulillah, his life and his heart and physically he'll give his all to practice the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes, for this reason Allah says that وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ أَلْمُسِينَ. This is such a fantastic path to attainment. And it's that Allah says, I have to be with you, otherwise it will be too hard for you to practice. Allah says, I'll definitely have to help you because you're honest, you're genuine. So in this path, when difficulties arise for you, Allah says, I won't let you drop. I won't let you fall. I won't let you drop. I won't let you fall down. I won't let you collapse. I'll assist you, Allah says. And Allah says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And that honest path, the honest people, the genuine people who are traveling on the path to attain Allah's nearness, Allah says, مُحْسِنِينَ. Allah has given a title, the doers of good. Allah has given a great title to those people. SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So first point here, shall I repeat? Because this is a classroom, isn't it? Yes. So the first thing is, maqsad, objective. Without the objective, a person is what? He is a camel. He's a cow. Do you understand? Like an animal. Yes, he has no purpose. We are like that as well. We have no objective. Not that I'm wearing nice clothes, I'm eating meat, and I'm different from the animals. No, that's separate. You are even lower than the animals if you don't have that objective, purpose. Because you have no purpose, objective life, apart from eating, drinking, making properties and buildings. Day and night, you're just thinking about these things. So any action you're doing in the world, there's money behind that. How shall I earn income, profession? How shall I do this action of the world? Your objective is just material things and worldly things. But those who want to attain Allah's nearness, then they have no worry about these material and worldly things. They've never thought about this. I'm doing this action so I can get this job, or I'm doing this action so I can get this. They don't bother about it. Yeah, of course, according to the necessities of life, the needs of life, they've got a job or a career or a profession. That's fine. That's enough. It's coming. If it's not, no problem. But they are running after objective that no day of mine should run, no hour of my life should run, no time, no second of my life or breath should be inhaled or exhaled without which that I am not practicing to attain the nearness of my Rabb, my Lord. Look at the big difference in the lifestyle between those two modes of thinking. Big, big difference. Yeah? So, if for example, if something in our life, our worldly targets, if they're not met during the day, then we feel destroyed. Ooh, what's happened? What shall I do? I needed this house. I don't know why this hasn't happened. I should have had this. I don't know why that's happened. My job, my profession, my career. That's all we're worried about. Oh, it's not coming. We've got depression and stress and anxiety if it's not coming. Allah. That what have we got to worry about these things? We are high level people, high grade people. Allah has given us great objective. If your worldly target is not being met or achieved, etc., it's for the reason that it's not written in your destiny. So why are you running after these things? Why? Why are you running after these things and desperate? Why are you desperate for these things? Why are we crying for these things? Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? MashaAllah. Those who understand, put your hands up. So at least I can realize that my class is running smoothly and efficiently. Yes, good. That we are successfully understanding. So here, what's the first point? Is that we have an objective of life. If you don't have a purpose, then you're finished. What's our purpose? Allah Ta'ala is our purpose. Allah's rada, His pleasure, and His nearness. How will we attain that objective? How will we attain that? Have you forgotten? Did you forget? Through which action will we attain our objective? Through mujahida, hard work, effort. That's what I'm explaining to you. Through mujahida, hard work and effort. Through trying, hard work. وَجَهَدُوا وَلَذِينَ جَهَدُوا. Not by just sitting down, folding hands up, tawajjuh of the shaykh, dua of the teacher. How will we succeed? Get up, work hard, and follow that path and do mujahida. Work hard, do effort. Mujahida. Just like, you know, you run for your shop to earn money. It's extremely cold. You'll put the market stool up. You'll go on a long journey to earn money. Oh, leave that. We've left our hometown, villages, and we're sat here. If it was on pound or currency, would you have traveled here? Yeah? Nobody would have come here, would they? If it wasn't for the pound, if it wasn't for wealth and income and currency, and for £1 we get this much gold, would anybody have come? No, we'll come here, we'll earn here, we'll send money back to our lands. That's why we sat here. Otherwise, who would leave his village and town and city and country? Who would have left this? Even then, we see dreams of running back. I'll make a house there, I'll run back, I'll take the children, this and that. Even then, we have dreams. Allahu Akbar. Do you understand what I'm saying? What's the point? We need to understand, work hard like we work hard for the world, drop all of that. The more important, a higher objective than that is our own objective for the hereafter. What should we work hard for? To please Allah, Allah's rada, and to attain Allah's name is His qurb. That's our objective. So if you do mujahida, Allah says, I'm with you, I'll assist you, I'll make your path easy for you to attain the objective. Clear now? Understanding? But let me tell you something else, because the class has to continue, isn't it? We have to continue and understand better. So what is mujahida now? That's the next question. What is mujahida? What mujahida shall we do? What hard work? What is the definition of mujahida? Say subhanallah. Yes, so people say, what is mujahida? Okay, I'll get mujahida, I'll acquire it. What is mujahida? So Allah's name is objective of life. To get that, we have to do mujahida. What's hard work? So what's our standard of hard work? What's our understanding of hard work? Listen carefully. We think that mujahida, or working hard, is waking up during the night, lots of worship, pray nafil salah, pray, keep fast, start doing hajj upon hajj, finish Quran upon Quran. This is mujahida. That person's doing a lot of worship. Say subhanallah. We think that's, no, not at all. This is not mujahida. This is not the definition of mujahida. This is our standard of mujahida, isn't it? That we think, yes, yeah. I said, what are we doing it? That's what we say is hard work, staying up during the night, praying tahajjud, wake up all night, qiyam, sayam, fasting. He's doing a lot of mujahida. He's working hard in Allah's path, we say. Hajj upon hajj, we say. Fast upon fast, sayam, qiyam. Is this mujahida? The Sufi say, this is not mujahida. This is not the definition of mujahida. Subhanallah, listen carefully, what is mujahida? This is not mujahida, is it? Hard work. This is just a habit. MashaAllah. That's why Allah Ta'ala says you don't get through ibadah. Ibadah becomes a habit. Worship becomes a habit. How do we acquire Allah's nearness and pleasure? Through mujahida. And mujahida is not ibadah, worship. Yes, subhanAllah. Ibadah, worship, doing lots of it, is not mujahida. There's no hard work in ibadah. Ibadah, worship, just becomes a habit. For example, you come to pray Fajr in the morning, that becomes your habit. Or is it not your habit? Praying Zuhr Salah becomes your habit. That when a person starts to pray salah, it becomes a habit. It's a habit, isn't it? Praying salah. For example, in Ramadan will come soon. Okay. And the first fast is not a habit. After that, becomes a habit. Second, third, fourth fast. Then you're not hungry after that. Yeah, then you have to eat by force. And eating food in the morning and evening. Is it? Are you hungry then? No. Because such a big ibadah, worship becomes a habit. So every ibadah, worship becomes a habit. And a habit, it doesn't mean that it's mujahida. No, there's no mujahida there. Say subhanallah. That's not hard work. Okay? So, in tasawwuf, through tasawwuf, we learn that mujahida, to attain Allah's nearness and pleasure. You don't find Allah's pleasure and happiness through ibadat. This is not mujahida. Ibadah, worship, does not equal mujahida. You won't find these learnings through any books that I'm telling you today. No. Subhanallah. So this is not mujahida. And we fall into this trap. Until today we thought that worshipping and practicing and worshipping and praying, that this is mujahida, this is hard work. We'll find Allah Ta'ala's name is our ankles and elbows and foreheads have been grazed and marked due to the worship. But if you stop a person praying, you say, no, I can't stop praying salah. My heart feels like that I need to pray. What is that? It's become a habit. He's just become habitual in doing those things. Become habit. And when something becomes a habit, that does not equal mujahida. That's not hard work. So what is hard work? What is mujahida? Shall I tell you today or shall I tell you next time? If you're going to practice, then I'll tell you. Yeah? So what we learn is that to attain Allah's nearness and qurb, it's not through these worship actions that will take us to that purpose. Allah's nearness and muhabbat and Allah Ta'ala's qurb will attain through mujahida. What is mujahida? It's not hard for you to understand what I'm saying, is it? Or is it easy for you to understand? If it's easy, say subhanallah, subhanallah. SubhanAllah. Yes? So tell me now, what equals mujahida that will give us Allah's nearness and pleasure? My brothers, mujahida, hard work, is that thing which is not a habit. The Quran will also tell us, because everything is given to us guidance through the Quran. The Quran gives us the tips, everything. Because I don't explain anything apart from the Quran and hadith explanation. The statements of the Sufi is very few, seldom do I present that. I speak more on the Quran and the hadith. Otherwise people will say bad against me. Oh, he keeps talking about the Sufis. Whereas in reality, what we should talk about are our pious predecessors. They are our true guides. Because all the Sufis, their statements were based under the light and the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah. But people today, they don't understand the sayings of our pious elders. They say, oh, they give fatwas. Oh, he's speaking about the walis of Allah. My friends, that's why I speak directly based on Quran and Hadith. So that people don't criticize and make a fuss. You'll get stuck. Otherwise, it was somewhere. If you sat in the khanka, then you'd be, yes, understand that, oh, the tasawwuf, it was khanka, but that's khanka, this is masjid. Otherwise, people will turf me out of it. They'll say, oh, get out, you keep talking about waliz Allah and pious elders and etc. You're wasting our time. Yes, if you sat in the khanka, then I'll tell you what is the true essence of the deen and tasawwuf and our pious elders. Pious preachers, if come one day to the khanka Manchester, then you see the reality. The reality. And then there will be different style of talk there, different discussion, the depth of discussion. Yes. So what was I saying? Do you understand my words? Do you understand what I'm saying? Mujahida, hard work, effort. Yes, so you're happy, I'm working hard, start praying salah, you'll fail. Why have you failed? Because it's a habit. Tahajjud becomes a habit. Tahajjud becomes a habit. First, you'll set the alarm, then your eyes will open, you'll become regular in tahajjud. Oh, he is pious, he has keeps fast on Thursday night. First, on Monday and Thursday, you'll fast, then it'll become a habit. Be regular. You're doing that. It is beneficial. All ibadat are beneficial because you'll get thawab. So they're not going to waste. Now, don't take me wrongly what I'm saying. Remember this point. Don't take me negatively what I'm saying. The ibadah, it is not going to waste. You get thawab, but you don't find Allah through that. Say subhanallah. If you're finding Allah through that, through every salah, you'll find Allah's nearness. Allah's qurb. Yes, so every person who is doing ibadah would find Allah Ta'ala's nearness and happiness. But no, you'll only find Allah's nearness and happiness via mujahadah. You get thawab through ibadah, you get jannah. Through salah, you get jannah. Through tahajjud, you get jannah. But what is it? You won't find Allah through that. Because the principle to find Allah's nearness and happiness is a different method and path. Say subhanAllah. You don't understand what I'm saying? Okay, fine, let's continue. So now tell me, what is mujahida then? What is hard work and effort? So that we can do that. What is striving? What is striving hard to find Allah's nearness and happiness? That is mujahida. So we can do it. So my brothers, mujahida, striving, working hard, making effort. It is such a thing, mujahida, that it doesn't become a habit when you practice it. Number one, that's point number one. Factor number one. Factor number two, that you don't enjoy it when you're doing mujahida, when you're striving. You don't feel that enjoyment, that buzz. Through mujahida, you won't feel enjoyment or a buzz like you do through other ibadah, worship. It will give you difficulty or pain. That's why Allah says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. I'm with you, don't fear, I'm with you. Because through salah you get enjoyment, through tahajjud you get enjoyment, through hajj you get enjoyment or not. But those actions which equal mujahida, through which you acquire Allah's nearness, you won't get enjoyment from that. You won't feel good in doing them. You won't get a buzz out of doing them. There will be difficulty in doing them, beyond difficulty. That's why Allah says, do not fear. Behold, I am with you to assist you and I'll make that path easy for you. Just keep on doing. Don't look back. Don't stop. What is that? Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, قَالُوا رَبُّنُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. That is istiqamat, steadfastness, regularity. That is mujahidah. Yes, so what is the name or definition of mujahida? Istiqamah. That when you are in the path to seek Allah's nearness, to seek Allah's pleasure, you can only attain Allah's nearness through one thing, that is mujahida, striving. And striving equals istiqamah, steadfastness, to be steadfast. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. You are stuck and you adhere to that path. When you stick to that path, when you seek Allah, when you're on the path seeking Allah's nearness, Allah's pleasure, when you go out into that path and then you take the means, when you stick to that means, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ. Allah Ta'ala says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then that status of that person becomes such that Allah Ta'ala sends angels to witness that person. That Allah Ta'ala says good news and tidings is given for that person in heavens because that person is succeeding, mashallah, he's on the right path of istiqamat. Do you understand what I'm saying? My words? Istiqamat. So istiqamat is mujahida, being steadfast. How do you attain Allah's nearness? How do you find Allah? Through istiqamat, being steadfast. And a person who's steadfast, he is the true mujahid. He is the one who's striving, working hard, making effort. He's the real Sufi, who's got istiqamat in his life. Steadfast, regular. For this reason, just doing dhikr, or just to go into the company of a sheikh, or to sit in front of the sheikh in his company, this is not enough. This is not enough. No, rather, the destination to get to the end point, you've got the means, you've got the company of the teacher. Now what you need to do? You need to work hard by being steadfast and regular. You found a sheikh, you've got the teacher, you've gone into the company of the teacher. What is this? This is the path to find Allah's nearness, to find Allah's pleasure. What do you need to do now? Once you find the sheikh, then stick to that and be regular, steadfast. And this is where people fail and fall down. For this, I will share with you a hadith that's coming to my mind. Great famous dua of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seated, and the companions were there, and he did the dua, the O Allah, subhanallah. This is a dua, isn't it? That, O Allah Ta'ala, my heart, Muqallib al-Qulub, that Allah, you are the one who switched the hearts. You turned the hearts. Allah, make my heart firm and istiqamat and steadfast and regular on your path, on your deen. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited this dua, then Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he said that we sahaba were sat there, and we were surprised, taken aback after hearing this dua of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We requested, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have the Quran, we have Iman, we have belief, so why should we be afraid or be concerned? We have nothing to be concerned about or be scared about, do we? And you have recited a dua of Prophet of Allah Sallam that is full of concern that a person could fail. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that yes, you have got Iman, you have got faith, and you have got the Quran, everything. But the real thing that we need alongside that is istiqamah, steadfastness. We need to be regular, consistent. What's the real thing that we need? Istiqamah alongside Iman and belief. And to acquire istiqamah, it is very difficult indeed to become regular and steadfast. And it will be also. Why? Because the dunya, the world, the taste and enjoyments of the world, the desires of the world, the actions of the world, that time of the Sahaba was a great time. But these words of the Prophet ﷺ will remain until Qiyamah. So we need to think about how this applies to us in this day and age, in our lives. What did the Prophet ﷺ guide us to? That this dunya, the world you're living in, is a place of desire, of attraction, and it will never make you, allow you to be steadfast. It will be very difficult, extremely hard to be steadfast. And to make this easy, there's only one way, that you have to plead to Allah, give me steadfastness, make me regular, Allah, in your deen. And this is the case that we need to understand. This is the crux of the matter. Always, what turns a person away from Allah, the restrictions and hurdles and barriers between us and Allah, are what? The paths, the barriers to becoming steadfast, istiqamah. But the person who adopts istiqamah, who's steadfast, will never fail, alhamdulillah. Never. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So where a person fails and loses, that Allah Ta'ala takes him to the path, Allah shows him the path, he makes the niyyah, Allah, want to find your nearness and love and pleasure, and he arrives to that path, he starts practicing it, and he attains that understanding. Like I gave you examples that you found a teacher, a sheikh. But once you arrive to that point, the student fails. Why? Because he doesn't practice the deen with steadfastness. For example, I'll give you an example. What is istiqamah? What is steadfastness to find Allah's nearness? I'll give you an example. You find a sheikh, a teacher, because the sheikh is the wasila, the means that will take you to Allah. It's a path. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala said himself that وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِي نَا لَنَهْدِيَنَا. Allah says, seek my nearness, my closeness, through the means of going to people. Allah says, كُونُوا مَا صَدِقِينَ in the Quran, that go to the company of the pious people. He is that path, the pious person, the wali Allah, your teacher. He is that path that will bring you to my nearness. Allah says, I'm not saying this myself. We're not making this deen up. Allah says this in the Quran. So when a student then arrives to the company of the teacher, why does he fail after that? Yes, most definitely that student will be successful, and he will never fail, that student who adopts istiqamah, who is steadfast. The question does arise that he's on the path, Allah's defined. So why is that student failing? Why is he not attaining, acquiring Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? He is failing, that student, but he hasn't got istiqamah, the regularity in his life. He's not consistent. How? How? What is istiqamat with the sheikh, with the guide? Having istiqamat as a student in connection with your teacher is to do ittaba of your sheikh, to obey the teacher. This equals istiqamat. So the definition of istiqamat as a student is to have ittaba in your teacher, to obey your teacher. That murid who obeys his teacher becomes successful because he has adopted the path of istiqamat. He is regular and consistent. And that student all life is sat physically with the teacher, does dhikr with the teacher, doesn't matter what he does, but if he doesn't obey his teacher, he will never succeed as the student, the murid, because he hasn't adopted the path of istiqamat. Successful is that murid, that student, whatever the sheikh is instructing, explaining, prescribing to the student, whichever way he is making you practice, whatever path he has prescribed for you, he's a teacher, he's guiding you, explaining for you. If you don't accept what he's guiding, if he says right, you go left. If he says fill the sheet system, he says I don't want the sheet system. He says do this, the student says I don't want to do that. Sheikh says do this, he says I don't want to do that. Then you are following your desires as a student. You are following your desires. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes, so istiqamat equals what? What is the meaning of istiqamat? There's pain, there's difficulty, there's no habit in istiqamat. There's no habit, there's no something you have to keep on repeating. Because istiqamat, steadfastness, is always the action which will make you go against your nafs. If you obey your nafs and desires, that is not istiqamat. That's why Allah Ta'ala has ordered, go to the teacher, to the sheikh. Because a student, why don't you find Allah through ibadah worship? For this reason, that the ibadah you're doing is to do obey your nafs. Oh, come on, I'll pray tahajjud today. Or let's pray this much tonight. Or let's do this much tonight. Your nafs is instructing you to do that. So you are practicing based on your nafs. Sometimes you wake up, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you worship, sometimes you don't. Allah Ta'ala has changed the law principle here. Allah says that the human being who follows his nafs desires will never acquire istiqamah. He cannot do mujahidah. He cannot work hard. He cannot strive. Until unless the other person, the teacher, you don't give your hand in his hand, when he controls you, then only then can you do mujahidah, strive and have istiqamat. So how can you be automatically corrected yourself? No, you're following your desires. And nafs will only be crushed when the teacher controls the nafs. And he says, go. So that's waking up then. If he says to you, wake up, that waking up, that tahajjud, subhanAllah, based on the instruction of the teacher, that will be istiqamat. That will be striving. That tahajjud will give you the nearness to Allah, the qurb of Allah. One is your choice, your nafs, your worship out of your own choice, and one is following the instruction of the teacher. Both have a massive difference. These are tips of tasawwuf that I'm giving to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is why it's compulsory to find a teacher sheikh. But when you find a sheikh, get to his company. That's why 3 points. First and foremost, when you arrive to the teacher, then make your aqidah, belief in him solid. That I've arrived to that teacher who will guide me to that path, demonstrate that path for me. If you as a student, remember two things, siddiq and nifaq, honesty, sincerity and hypocrisy. The student who, after arriving to the company of the teacher, even after that, if he is a miser in his heart and he criticizes and complains against the teacher, then he's a munafiq student. Just like they were the generation of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. They were munafiqs, they weren't sadiq. That student is not sincere to find Allah. The student who's sincere to find Allah's nearness, immediately they have so much love with his teacher, he'll be ready to do any action that his sheikh instructs. That's the sign between nifaq and love. You will determine the person on the haq. Allah has given these criterion to the student as a human being. Say subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. Otherwise, the sheikh, he doesn't require your love. The sheikh doesn't require your aqidah. Yes? What's that given to you? To the sheikh? Nothing. Your aqidah in the sheikh, what's that given to them? What difference does it make to the teacher? Whether you love him or not, or believe in him or not, or follow him or not? Does it make any difference? No. If the student says, I don't have aqidah in you, the sheikh will say, okay, fine, you can go. No problem. There's no quarrel here. No, I don't want to obey your instructions. Okay, don't listen to my instructions, says the teacher. No quarrel, no dispute. The benefit is for that individual student himself who's taken the guide, the teacher, becomes a lover of that teacher, he follows that teacher, obeys that teacher. Then Allah says, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now behold, I'm with you indeed to help you. That's when Allah says, I will assist you. Now Allah says, I'm with you, I will define the path to you, demonstrate the path to you, because you are now practicing. But he doesn't have aqeedah in the teacher, doesn't love the teacher, he doesn't obey the teacher, and then the student complains, I can't find Allah's nearness. Then why are you complaining to the teacher now? This is weird what you're saying. You're opposing the principles. So the first point is what? Mujahida. You understand what is striving? Striving, mujahida, is when you've got that path, the teacher, then have istiqamah. Then if Shaykh says, do X, Y, Z, then have istiqamah in that. Be regular in that. Hatta yakin, until death does not arrive, come, you are istiqamah, you practice in that. Allah says, you are successful. You have taken all of that action. So here is where a person then gets the challenge, the test, the challenge. This is where the attacks will come, strong attacks will come. Let me define the, explain that to you. The student arrives to the teacher's company, okay? Yes. And he's aqidah in the teacher, he has belief in the teacher, he's working hard properly, and he has love in the teacher. Listen to the path. All the tips I'll explain to you, inshallah. You got love in the teacher, belief in the teacher, mujahida, you're working hard, you're striving hard on the points, the principles. So now what's left? What's the argument? Shaitan promised, Allah, I'm not going to leave these people. I promise I'm going to get these thrown into Jahannam. So what's the next thing that happens then in the journey? Ajeeb, weird thing Shaitan creates. This is a very strong force. Shaitan makes the student feel, many days I'm going to Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh's company, I'm working hard, making effort. I can't see any miracle. Karama, there's no light inside me, no dreams or visions that I can see. I don't have that emotion of that feeling of waliyala. That's our standard. That's our criteria that we have formulated. As soon as I'm in the company of my Shaykh, a student, do mujahida, everything. We consider that these are the signs of waliyala nowadays, that the waliyala shows miracles. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Not at all. This is not the tasawwuf, my friends. At all. Not at all. We consider that person as a wali Allah. We think that we are successful at that time, that when inside me these emotions, they arise, that when my heart starts understanding other points and words and I see visions and miracles, and we think that that person's a wali Allah. And that's where a person then loses out. Remember this. And this is where Shaitan makes that person lose out. He loses out big time. He loses out big time. That person fails. So here then, the pious predecessors give the answer. The Quran gives the answer to the false pretense. Istiqamat fawqul karamat. Subhanallah. That striving, being steadfast, regular istiqamat is many times over superior to miracles. Many times over. If karamat, the miracles, is a sign of being a wali Allah or being pious, eh, brothers, then the birds that fly in the air, we'll say that wali Allah, if I'm sat here now and start floating in the air, everyone will say, oh, he's a wali Allah, he's showing magic. But 50 years, day and night, consistently being sat down, I'm doing dhikr of Allah. No one says that. That's karamat. No one says that's miracle. Say subhanallah. Yeah? No one says that's a wali of Allah. Oh, just sat there, jamaat sat there. 50 years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enabled us to follow one path, morning and evening, day and night. Day and night, whether sea or storm or jungle or wilderness, wherever we are, no day or night has passed, wherever we are, that a person is ghafil or negligent of the dhikr of Allah, away from the dhikr of Allah. Never. So this is Allah Ta'ala's hukum, instruction. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the istiqamat fawqul karamat, oh madman, if it was a great achievement to float in the air, even the non-Muslim does this. Even the non-Muslim does this. Yes, that even the non-Muslim will tell you what you think in your heart, and the jogi will tell you that, the magician will tell you that. Why? Because to an extent, yeah, they've done mujahida, they've strived hard, they've cleaned their heart, they start to see jinnat or do magic. That's not some big achievement. But inside him is no istiqamat, no regularity, no steadfastness. The friends of Allah, the wali of Allah, they have a special quality. They don't have keramat, magic, they have istiqamat, regularity, consistency. Let me tell you that point. Yes, the karamat, why is istiqamat, why is steadfastness superior to miracles? Why? For this reason, listen carefully, attentively, that istiqamat and karamat, why is steadfastness superior to miracles? For this reason, Quran explains, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He demands istiqamat, but the nafs demands karamat, visions and miracles. They are two opposite things. So Allah ta'ala wants is greater. Istiqamat is greater. Because Allah Ta'ala wants and demands istiqamat. Whatever Allah Ta'ala demands is greater is what your nafs demand. My nafs demands or requires karamat. Visions and people in the world should look at me and I should become famous, enjoyment, taste. But istiqamah gives difficulty and pain and hardship. If it wasn't Allah Ta'ala's fadl, then a person could never sit for 50 years and do dhikr of Allah. Yes, so behind there is Allah's assistance. Allah says, "Wa inna Allah al muhsinin." It's me, my assistance, my help that makes you do istiqamah. This is why I know your heart. I'm Khabir Basir. In your heart, there's a true, honest desire. You want to attain my nearness. You are looking for my pleasure. That's why I make you do actions of istiqamah. Allah Ta'ala says, "Subhanallah, Subhanallah." Not that today, Daras Open Institute, speak today, close that tomorrow, do this, speak today, not tomorrow. This will never give success. Real work is until death does. And come, you are consistent and regular day in and out in the action. Do you understand my words, what I'm saying? They're good words, what I'm saying, or not? Will you get these words and learnings anywhere else? Huh? Will you find this anywhere else? So what great points and doubts that have been eliminated from our mind. So we've learned. So we don't. Karamat is nothing. Even non-Muslim magicians show karamat. Visions, miracles. The istiqamat and consistency is a person does an action, goes to a sheikh, finds a teacher, follows the sunnah. The question doesn't arise that that student will stop practicing sunnah. The sheikh says, do this action, do this wazifa, this prayer recitation. The question doesn't arise. The rest of his life will leave that. Hazrat Ali Karamullah just said that my sheikh gave me a wazifa. Who was Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's sheikh? Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu the wazifa that do this prayer recitation, Ali, minor, short wazifa. He said, all life long I was regular in that. Who is that? Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, the door to the city of knowledge. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the city of knowledge, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu was the door to the city. All knowledge will come through Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And he is saying, he said that all of success is based on istiqamah. He said that one instruction that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me in my life, all life long, I never left it, to this extent that the most difficult night or day that came in my life was during the Battle of Siffin. That was the most difficult time, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, but alhamdulillah, even that day, I continued and practiced that wazifa that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to me, that lesson. That practice. The nafs says that leave that, you're in a battle, it's too hard. But istiqamat, fawqul karamat. The istiqamat, regularity is more superior than miracles. And now see who's the true murid and who isn't. Murid, my words, is a word which is of great significance. It's not a joke being a murid, but even the murid, the salik. A salik is the seeker who is seeking, traveling in the path, the journey to find Allah's qurban nearness. That's the salik, the student. So the best murid, the best salik, the journeyman, is that person who is regular in this path. He doesn't leave his sheikh's gatherings due to excuses, doesn't leave the wazifa due to excuses, doesn't reject the words of the sheikh due to excuses. He never has waswasa or negative thoughts against the teacher because he is traveling on the path to find Allah, the sincere student. Whatever the sheikh says, he obeys. Whatever the sheikh says, he does in the same way. Allah, you will acquire his nearness through that. But we will try to do a thousand, pray this salah, pray this dua, read this durood sharif. You do this action, you'll find Allah. So many kitabs and formulas, but nobody has yakin Allah's kitab. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ jahadu. Allah says clearly that this is the path. But nobody wants to follow Allah's prescription, His formula in the Quran, and we follow our own desires and methods that we've made up ourselves, my brothers. Find the path Allah has defined. Time is very short. I will repeat the statements now. Why are we wasting our time? Why are we running away with the time? If we stand firm today, first seek a sheikh, find a sheikh, a teacher, who will explain to everything based on the Quran, and have aqeedah in the sheikh, have love in the sheikh, itaqad in the sheikh, obey the sheikh. How will you know if you have love and aqeedah in the sheikh? Whatever the sheikh says, amana wa sadaqna. I hear and obey. No criticism, no opposition. How can it ever be that did any ever sahaba, any companion complain or have anything against the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? His instruction? Can never be. Question never arose. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they said, accepted. Accepted. Our mother and father are sacrificed on you, O Prophet of Allah. We accept what you're saying. Straight away they said that. There was hukum, instruction of Allah. We don't even know anything. Whatever the teacher says, that's it. You're enough. So this is the tariqah that has been taught to us to find Allah's nearness. That whatever you are doing, it's not for the shaykh sake you're doing it. The shaykh is the wasila, he's a guide taking you to Allah. I practice and I obey the shaykh's commands so that I can acquire your nearness. He is a veil, the shaykh a curtain. It will be drawn back and Allah Ta'ala will be there for you to acquire his nearness. Yes, but this is an imtihan, a test, a challenge that we need to practice. Without this, you can't find Allah's nearness. You cannot get Allah's happiness. So this path is for those people who are alert and awake, not the mad people in the dunya. Those who have understanding, they understand these points. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So become men, rijal, mad. Grab hold of, take hold of the hand of a sheikh. Sell yourself. That's why I say that when you go to the sheikh, then bear, transaction, purchase, transaction, bear. It's like a buying and selling. Sell yourself. Give yourself over to the sheikh. You've come to the bear. You've come to sell yourself. When a person would buy a slave or a servant, olden times, when they take hold of that servant, the slave, then whatever commands they give to that person, he would fulfill those commands. So a murid goes to the teacher. Why are you here? I want to sell myself in the name of Allah. I want to assign myself over to Allah. For the sake of Allah's name, I want to sell myself. Please purchase me, O sheikh. You'll be fortunate if the sheikh purchases you. In other words, he accepts you as the student. Why? Because you are selling yourself for the name of Allah. So he, the shaykh, will tell you to do actions so you can acquire Allah. He will eliminate your desires, subhanAllah, and he will command you to do what he wants you to do. So when your nafs is crushed and it's trodden upon, it's eliminated, then all of the distance between you and Allah is eliminated because you have controlled your nafs now. The shaykh will say, no, do this and do this, leave this, do that. And you are the ghulam, you will have to fulfill his orders. Alhamdulillah. And one day, you will achieve the result. But if you follow your desires, you will not attain that success. I've told you, I've told you through Allah, through worship, you cannot attain Allah's nearness. But through crushing the desires, when you oppose the desires, that's when you feel the pain. That's when the hard work comes. If you follow habit, then you cannot get Allah's nearness. Those ibadat that you do out of habit, worship, there's no pain, no difficulty, you know, crushing the desires, you will not achieve anything. That ibadah where your nafs feels pain and difficulty, then shaykh, your teacher will make you do that ibadah, those actions. I remember once, I was with Hazrat Sahib, and this is the mujahidah, the striving I did with my shaykh. And he used to grind us down, make us work hard. Yes. It was a final umrah. I remember that until today, Hazrat Sahib's final umrah. As I said to you, there was a Ramadan. We were once with Hazrat Sahib, umrah. And it was a very difficult time, severe Ramadan. And for 2 days, we hadn't even eaten anything. Even at the time of iftar, extreme heat. Very old days, I'm talking about decades ago. And there was no air conditioning at that time in the masjids. Difficult. And Hazrat Sahib, his habit, it was his routine all night long, ibadah until Ishraq morning. We were hungry. I'd traveled for a few days, arrived. We were sat there happy that today's the 29th fast and we'll see the new moon today for the new month of Shaban. Fasting will end, Ramadan will end, Mujahid, etc. will end. Then we'd realize that there's no new moon. So there's an extra fast. The 30th fast will be coming soon on us. So we sat there, now knowing that is a fast the next day, a few dates, some water. Because our nafs had been eliminated, crushed, we had sold ourselves. We weren't following our desires, we had no hotel all our life long. We didn't know about hotel or eggs or tea, nothing at all. We will follow the instruction of the teacher, his choice. So as soon as Janab, we sat there and we're now waiting for the next day fast, then Hazrat Sahib, and everyone's exhausted and bad situation, one falling left or right. Hazrat Sahib turned around, looked behind after Ishraq in the morning. And Hazrat Sahib said, Faruqi Sahib, Allah's karam on us, grace, he's given another fast. Come, let's go and do Umrah. SubhanAllah. In my life, that was the best enjoyable Umrah and the most difficult Umrah at the same time until today. It was the final Umrah with Hazrat Sahib. How Hazrat Sahib crushed the desires. That time, we're dizzy and exhausted. How will we do Umrah? Go to Masjid Aisha from me in this state, in this condition? I can explain to you how difficult was the hal of that person. Anyway, khair. And we didn't have Iram. You could say around the people today, just have dhoti wrapped around our waist and we just take our kameez off and wrap a sheet around us. That was Iram. So, we didn't have to go out there by Iram. Already we're wearing the dhoti. Blessed Tamadanda, we wrap the sheet around us, just take the kameez off and wrap the sheet around us on top, the waishi, and that's it, and then that becomes haram. And we'd arrive to Masjid Aisha. As soon as we took the kameez off, subhanallah, the sleep evaporated, disappeared. Inallah, wa innala ala amal musini, so easy, Allah ta'ala made the umrah so easy, I could not imagine. Subhanallah. That sort of tawaf was the sayyis of umrah. I can explain to you the experience. So my brothers, when you assign your nafs over to somebody else, if it was me or my own, no, it's the last day, let's go to sleep. You don't need to practice. Thousand excuses the nafs will take you. It's not necessary, it's not fard, is it? It's not compulsory, it's not this, it's not that, is it? So this doesn't run there, fard, is it wajib, sunnah, muqaddah. In the company of the sheikh, it's the hukum, the instruction of the sheikh that goes. What if the sheikh has instructed or said becomes wajib, fard, come get up, do this, do that. That's it. That's when you attain Allah's nearness, because you have assigned your nafs over. MashaAllah, I enjoyed speaking with you today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, that this is a true mujahidah striving we do, true hard work that we do. And what is the true striving hard work? Istiqamat. Istiqamat and regularity. Just stick to a sheikh. If you find a teacher, do his ittaba, obey him totally. And according to his instructions, follow, practice your life, crush your desires. We have come here to crush our desires. That if we don't crush our desires, then what's the reason to go into the sheikh? Just carry on doing what you're doing, follow your desires, choices, your will. No benefit. Oh, it's too hard, teacher. It's too hard to do this. Then what's the benefit? What's the reason for you? What's the point in coming? Just do what you want to do then. Keep praying your salah, ibadah, inshallah, you'll attain Jannah, paradise. Yeah, very easy path, very simple path. Following your desires, do ibadah of your nafs, your desires, do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, if you want to attain Allah's nearness and pleasure, the order comes from Allah. There's only one way to do that. Wajahadu. Allah says that you have to then. Waladina jahadu fina lahna dinu subhanallah. Wakhru dawana. Wakhru dawana. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Recite the Rusul.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Champion Muslimin. Dahwa yasin. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وصحبه محمد ذرياته وحل بعده كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب العشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار اللهم صلتنا الإيمان وأمتنا الإيمان وعشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيهم صدقهم شهداء وصالحين وحسن أولئك بك اللهم استعنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا به سمرته يا كريم اللهم بارك لنا في الموت فيما بعد الموت اللهم إنا لغمرات الموت والسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وعذاب القبر وعذاب الفرج وعذاب جهنم يا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا قاضي الحاجات حاجاتنا يا ذا المنيات ثمنياتنا يا شافي المرض شفاء مرضنا اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا شافي المرض شفاء مرضنا يا شافي المراد اشف مرازنا يا شافي المراد اشف مرازنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهم وارحم ربياني الصغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين